I'm David, one of the occasional preachers here at St. Matthew's. Follow on in your own Bibles to see for yourself what's happening here. If you haven't got one to hand, get the Bible.com app on your phone and follow, see what happens. Let's read John's explanation of what's happening here. Verse 1. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. John wants us to see Jesus' love. We've reached the last week before the Passover and Jesus' death on the cross in Jerusalem and the first Easter. Jesus knew where he was going. The hour had come for him to leave this world. He was with his own, his disciples. Jesus' actions here are an illustration of his love. From verse 2. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. So far in John's story of Jesus' life, we've seen him walking on water. Remember Laura trying? Raising Lazarus from the dead? Probably good she didn't try that here. And much, much more. Jesus is God come down to earth. This takes place in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Imagine the scene, people wearing sandals, walking everywhere in the same hot, dusty roads that cows and camels and donkeys are walking on. Hands that flung stars into space are getting ready to clean sweat, dust, and things I don't want to talk about from the feet of his disciples. The creator of toes is cleaning the toes of his followers. Before you see how we should respond to this sort of story, I want you to see how weird it is. It's like the queen doing your washing up. I think this picture might be slightly fake. Parties, do you remember those? Hopefully not too long before they're a thing again. Imagine the epic heap of washing up and cleaning that needs to be done afterwards. Now imagine that the queen, you know, longest reigning British monarch, palaces, butlers, several crowns, missing a yacht, turns up and just does it all for you. It's just not going to happen, is it? Realize this Jesus, this is our God. Read his words. Let his love sink into you. Read the miracles he did. Let his power fill you with a new kind of confidence, not in yourself, but in his eternal power. When you've been cycling, been hooted by an angry driver, let that love overpower your desire for revenge. When you're missing seeing family and friends due to lockdown rules, remember that we have a Lord more powerful than the coronavirus. What will you do with this love in your heart? This is our God. Let's see how much he loves us. Jesus is sitting on the floor. Imagine the scene. Peter's brother, Andrew, has some nasty brown gunk in between his toes, which smells suspiciously of the back end of a cow. Jesus is cleaning the sweat, dust, and whatever that brown stuff is off and carefully drying his feet. Peter is watching. From verse 6. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." It's easy to be critical of Peter. He's a, whenever he opens his mouth, he puts his foot in it kind of a guy. But Peter's got it. He's worked out who Jesus is and how weird this is. And Jesus says to Peter, "Later you will understand." When Peter sees the crucifixion and resurrection, he will understand. This foot washing is a picture. It's a little picture of the forgiveness that Jesus won for us on the cross. When he paid the price that we should pay for our rebellion against the God who made us. In verse 8, Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Without this forgiveness, we have no part with Jesus. I guess many people will think of Christianity as being like joining a political party. Join us and fix the world. This is the way to progress. But first, we have to see that Christianity starts with us being washed by Jesus, accepting that we need forgiveness. We need fixing first. I need to stop looking at others and working out how to fix them, rather to look at myself and see that I need fixing. From verse 9, "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. Once again, Peter has got it. He needs this cleaning, this forgiveness that Jesus offers. This is more valuable than anything. And once again, he's got the wrong conclusion. Jesus' death on the cross, which he hasn't seen yet, but he's going to understand, that death on the cross once for all washed us clean of our sins. As Jesus says to Peter, their whole body is clean. But we do continue to sin, and we need to continue to ask for forgiveness. We are forgiven, clean. But Jesus uses washing feet here as a picture of asking for forgiveness every day. Every day we need to thank Jesus for the forgiveness he won for us and to say sorry and ask for help to change. Keep short accounts with God. Experience this forgiveness every day. And Jesus says, not every one of you is clean. Jesus knew that Judas would betray him. Jesus' offer of forgiveness is open to all, and yet some choose, like Judas, to value money more and to be bewitched by earthly power. And they have turned away from this love and ignored the God who came to earth and washed his people's feet. Don't be that person. We need to be washed by the servant king. We cannot depend on ourselves for our own righteousness. So, in our home groups, roots groups, meeting up with others, let's drop our pride. If you're not a part of a small group, could you join one? Ask for help. Accept help offered. Say sorry. Confess our weaknesses. During this pandemic, I've been reminded of my own weaknesses and my own failings and my own need for help. Let's help each other to live in dependence on our servant king. This is our God, the servant king. What is it like to follow a servant king? from verse 12. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. If they, the disciples, understood what he had done, then they will serve each other. Jesus has set an example for us. If we know who Jesus is, what he's done, how he serves us, then if we refuse to serve each other, we are placing ourselves above him. Let me introduce you to my least favourite speed bump, which many of you recognise is just outside this building. About 10 years ago, I was cycling home from the church building. I caught the speed bump awkwardly. I don't quite know what happened, but I ended up on the ground with bits of gravel and bicycle embedded in bloody grazes all over my hands and legs. But several of the congregation were watching. And one of them spent the next few minutes cleaning up bits of gravel out of me and patching me up. Thank you. You know who you are. Top tip, if you're planning a messy bicycle crash, can I suggest outside church on a Sunday morning is an excellent option. Maybe wait for lockdown to end before trying this one out, though. This church, we are people who serve each other. And that is wonderful. We are to be people who know how low Jesus made himself for us, and then nothing will be beneath us. Stop being normal. Take risks to help people. Do things that are costly to serve each other. Tomorrow, it should become legal to meet in groups of 6 people outside. Not everyone will be able to take advantage of this change in rules, but I'm looking forward to meeting friends and family. And yet, a year mostly of Zoom has got me all out of practice of meeting and talking with new people, welcoming people to groups I'm part of. With this new freedom, what will you do? I'm really grateful to the Parrott family for providing hospitality to the International Fellowship each Friday, at least up until March last year. Imagine meeting someone in your living room who you didn't let in, who you've never met before, who's spilling coffee on your carpet, and inviting them back. It's not normal. It's wonderful. About 30 people got to hear about Jesus, our God, the servant King, and to see what it means to serve him. I gather Alicia is still meeting online with one of those who joined us. I pray that many of them will also follow him. This is our God, the servant King. He calls us now to follow him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came from heaven and entered our world to show your love to us. Thank you for the forgiveness you won for us on the cross. Please help us to always remember how much we need to be served by you. Help us to learn how to depend on each other and to serve each other as we follow you. Amen.